If I only had one song that I could sing you, one more story I could tell before I leave. If I only had one message I could bring you, there's no question it would be about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful about the cross. I could sing about the state of grace I live in, or the peace and joy I have when times are tough. I could talk of all the blessings I've been given, but in the end, my life is just about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful about the cross. 2,000 years ago, if I had watched him die, I think I would have lost all hope, demanded to know why. But now I know the cross means everything, and it's the greatest honor to sing about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful, something incredible, there's something wonderful about the cross, about the cross.
Amen. Thank the Lord for the cross, right? Amen. Luke chapter 5 in your Bibles, please. Luke 5. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. Luke chapter 5. When you find that, if you're able to stand to your feet, if you would, please, out of respect for the reading of the Word of God. Luke chapter 5 and verse, starting in verse number 1. Luke 5 and starting in verse number 1, we'll read down to verse number 11, if you follow along silently as we read the scripture here. Luke 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. And he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I pray you would help us to take these next few moments as a song was sung to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Help us, Lord, to take some time to think about you. Please get a hold of our hearts. Holy Spirit, please speak to us. Most importantly, if there's anyone here today that's not saved, I pray they would trust in you as their Savior and turn their eyes to Jesus Christ. Help our pastor now. Fill him with your power. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As you're being seated, please make sure your cell phone is turned off. Did you see that when they caught so many fish that ships would not hold them? If your phone goes off in church, your car will fill with fish. Now, you know you like fish, but I don't think you want a carload of fish to go home with. All right, so turn your cell phone off. So I think it is. Don't think. No, just turn it off. Look this way and pay attention. Peter, James, and John are here when Jesus asked Peter to launch his boat out and speak for a moment. But they're not disciples yet. They're fishermen. James and John are working with Simon Peter in the fishing business. Jesus stands there. People want him to speak. And so he says, let me go use your boat. Push out from the shore a little bit. So he sets down. Jesus speaks to the multitude that are there. Now, when this account is over, Peter, James, and John are disciples, but not yet. So after he speaks a bit, Jesus turns to Peter and says, now, let your nets down for a draught and get some fish. Launch out into the deep and let your nets down. Do you see that in verse 4? Peter looks at him. He's not a disciple yet. But he says, well, you know, we fished all night. We haven't caught anything. But you know what? At your word, I will let down the, what's it say, verse 5, church? Okay, you noticed that before. Jesus asked for nets. Peter dropped a net. And when he pulls it in, it is full of so many fish, he can't get it in. So a couple of guys are out there in the boat. He says, hey, come here. And they come over, and they're just dumping fish in their boat, dumping fish in Peter's boat. Jesus is in the boat with them. So full, both boats now, that they begin to sink, and Peter drops on his knees before Jesus and says, forgive me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And Jesus commissions him and Peter and John, and they get the boat to shore, and they do the fish. I want to talk to you about that little detail in verse 4 and 5. The detail of the nets versus the net. And the sermon's title is simple. It's this. Don't hold back a net. Don't hold back a net. Jesus asked for nets. Peter gives him a net. Oh, wait, look at me. They still got fish, right? So if you don't do everything you're supposed to do, as long as you still get fish. Peter's not a bad man. He's just, I caught nothing and this man's asking me to drop my nets. That means I got to start this all over again. I'll tell you what, I'll just drop a net and then. But when they caught fish, well, then obviously then that means it's okay. When the Lord asks you for something, you can give him some of what he's asked and it'll still turn out. Because that's how this account turns out in Scripture. He dropped the net, he still got fish. Okay, this thing is full of good stuff for us, but here it is. Watch me carefully. That's how most of us are. The Lord asks us something. Ask of us some things. And he wants us to drop our nets. And we're kind of partially obedient. Not bad people. Just, we're not putting all the nets in the water here. Let's drop a net. That's why the sermon is don't hold back a net. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, it doesn't make any difference. They still got a load of fish. Almost sunk two boats, for goodness sakes. Okay, here's a simple thought. How many fish do you think were out there? Jesus, look at me. Jesus knows how many nets you have, and he knows how many fish there are. If we're not careful, look at me. If we're not careful, we'll settle for partial obedience in our lives as long as we're getting something from it. We're still getting some blessing out of it. We're still getting fish. We're just, you know, I'm not going to throw all the nets in this thing. I'm going to drop a net instead of nets. So the message is don't hold back a net. Okay, let's get into it this morning. Well, first of all, realize Jesus knows how many nets you have. He knows how many nets you have. What does that mean? Look at me. When he asks you to do something, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, the commandments of God are not grievous. He's not going to ask you to do something you can't do. So when you go to church and you hear the Bible and you read it and you know what the Bible tells you to do, friend, you must understand Jesus knows whether or not you can do it, and he wouldn't ask you if you couldn't. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Hey, look at me. He knows how many nets you have. He knows what he can do with the nets you have. By the way, he knows what you can do with the nets you have. Now, come on, get off the fishing concept. He knows what you have. He knows what abilities you have. He knows what opportunities you have. He knows what you can do. And he knows what he can do with what you have. So don't hold back on the Lord. When he asks you to do something in his word, just do it. Say, well, it's more complicated than that. No, you make it more complicated than that. It's a whole lot more simple than that if you realize it. When he said, Peter, launch out in the deep and drop your nets. Well, they were at the shore. They were washing their nets. Jesus knew exactly what he had. He knew what his potential was, what his capabilities were. He knew what he could do. And Jesus knew what he was going to do if Peter dropped both nets, all the nets, any of the nets, all of them. He knew what could be done. But don't get stuck on this now. You say, yeah, but Pastor Johnson, they filled two boats, almost sunk them. So obviously just halfway is still pretty good. Well, we'll get to that in just a minute. But the point isn't halfway. The point is, how many fish did he miss? How much didn't he get because he didn't put nets in instead of, because he put a net instead of nets? How much could God do with your life if you would just go ahead and do what he asks you to do as fully and as completely as he wants? That's why Sunday morning Christianity is just not going to work. Hey, I'm glad you're here. And if you show up one Sunday, you know, Easter and Christmas, if you come up just Sunday morning, that's all you ever do, I'm glad you're here. We're glad you're here. You got a chair. You got a spot. You got a place, blah, 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 blah. But you look at me. There's something more to this thing than just one service a week. There's something more to this thing than a churchianity that shows up on Sunday and participates to the limit that you set instead of giving what God wants, because he beseeches you to present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirits, which are God. Maybe the reason we're dropping a net instead of nets is because Jesus isn't even in the boat. Jesus is in the boat with Peter while this is going on. Maybe he's not even in the boat for you. What does that mean? Well, I'm talking about your salvation. Do you know Christ as your Savior, and are you sure? And not only that, once you get saved, friend, is Jesus really in the boat, or you just kind of, you got him put away somewhere? As far as you're concerned, you know, you love the Lord. But Jesus, quite frankly, isn't really running the boat in your life. Well, if he is, then friend, if he says he wants you to present yourself a living sacrifice, do it. Yeah, but Pastor Johnson, you have to understand what that means. I understand fully what that means. Hot August night, 1975, God called me to preach. More specifically, God called me to pastor. That hot August night of 1975, I had my life figured out. Everything. All the pieces were there except one piece. The woman. I was single. And I was an air traffic controller in the Air Force. Again, IQ too high to be in the branch of military. I was in the Air Force. I loved that job. I loved air traffic control. Brother Huffman and I, he was in the Navy. Of course, That's where you go in the secondary part. But he was in the Navy. He was air traffic control. I loved the job. I loved everything about it. I loved the pressure and the work and everything. It's an incredible job, to be honest with you. You have to be able to think about what you're going to say. Say something different while you're listening to what's going on in the facility that's around you. I mean, it's incredible. Now I can't even pay attention to my wife. But that's one reason I'm not there anymore. But the truth is, that's what I wanted to do. And I loved that job, and I was ready. I got out of the service. I was 22 years old. I could retire at 42, pick up another job, be double retired at 62. I mean, come on. I had the package. I had a plan. I wasn't riding around on a bike with a plastic bag with a bombophone. I mean, I had a plan. Are you with me? Then I made a huge mistake. I got right with God. Some of you are still wondering when I'm going to get right with God. But anyway, I got right with God. I sure did. The hot August night of 1975 in a church service, God called me to be a pastor. Now, as I've told you before, I have a fear of public speaking. My dad was a preacher and ran off with a woman in the church. I mean, the ministry was not good to me. Actually, the ministry was good. It was the people in it who weren't. And I resisted that calling. Do you realize what happened when I yielded to that call? But you know what I was doing up to that point? You know what I was doing? I was going to church. There every service for the high and holy reason of sitting next to that beautiful blonde right there, my wife. But then I got more serious about it. Started going to church, started getting involved. I was doing everything but what God wanted fully for my life. I wasn't out slamming dope and killing people. I mean, I was driving a bus in a church. I was singing in the choir. I was a youth director. I mean, I was a busy layman. Surely that's good enough. No, it was a net. It wasn't the nets. Sometime after 75, I got my head right about what God wanted me to do, and I put the nets in the water. I had no comprehension of what God had in mind, but Jesus knew. He knew I was naturally a shy person. He knew I feared public speaking. He knew all that kind of stuff. But you know, people, look at me carefully. You don't understand. They got up two boatloads of fish. I guarantee you there was four boatloads of fish if they just put the nets in the water instead of just dropping a net. Don't hold back a net on God, because he knows what you can do. But don't fear it. And then, of course, you don't hold back a net. And the reason we do hold back a net is just simply a lack of faith. I mean, Peter said, Lord, I fished all night and I caught nothing. He's looking at Jesus thinking, this man does not understand the fishing business. You fish at night in the Sea of Galilee. That's where you get your best haul in the fish. We fished all night. We got nothing. He wants me to go out there and get these nets all wet again and start this whole thing all over again. He doesn't seem to understand what my life is like. He doesn't understand the struggles I'm going through in my life. The bottom line was Jesus did understand that, but he wanted him to just be trust the Lord enough just to do what he was told. So when Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word. Now, there, can you get a more simple definition for faith than that? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the what, church? By the word of God. So when Peter says, okay, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out, but because you said so, I'll drop the net. But because he dropped the net, still showed he lacked enough faith to follow through. What is it you fear God's going to do with you? You get all the nets in the water, the whole thing. What are you afraid of? What do you fear is going to happen to you? You're going to lose control of your life? Good news, you will. You will. God will take over. And you look at me, friend, you hear me, he'll do a better job with it than you will. I assure you. What is it we lack faith in? So if God asks us to do something, I don't know how it will turn out. I got good news for you. You don't. And you won't. And you'll have no idea how this whole thing's going to go. Hey, guess what? So you think God's going to make a mistake with you? Remember how you told your little brother he was nothing but a mistake? I'm not talking about that. I mean, do you realize that if God has asked you to do something, that God will back that up with his hand, his help, his word? His ability? Is there a greater ability than God? Can you make a better life than God can? No, I don't think so. See, it's a lack of faith. We're saying, oh, man, well, wait a minute now. Yeah, There is, but you have to understand something. I believe Jesus wanted to do more than what they saw. And their lack of faith hindered that. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 to 29, two blind men came to Jesus and said, Lord, would you heal us? And Jesus looked at them and said this, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Now look at me. We're not one of those kind of churches, if you believe something, you get a Cadillac. Okay, so get off of that junk. If you just have faith, you can get anything you want from God. Now come on, God is not that dumb to give you anything you want. But I do know that, look at me, the portion of your faith has a lot to do with the portion of God's reward of that faith. Huh? He that soweth little reapeth little. He that soweth bountifully reapeth bountifully. There's something about the principle of your faith and how it activates what God will do in answer to that faith. Don't hold back a net. And then don't do this one. Now listen, don't settle for a full net either. See, well, they had more than a full net, Pastor. They couldn't get them all in two boats. I mean, isn't that good enough? Well, is it? Let me ask you a question. Is that? Look at me now. Look at me. Is okay okay? Is being blessed some? Is that good enough? We sang it this morning. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. I'm not trying to get you this morning to feel like, boy, you give it all and God is just going to, you're never going to have enough money in the bank. It's just going to pour out. You're going to have nine banks. You're going to have everything you could ever hope for. Please get past that shallow Christianity. I'm talking about the fact, my dear friend, don't you understand your God understands something you don't understand, and here's what he understands. Are you content with that? I go to church, I do right, I live a good life. I mean, what else do you want? What else do I want as far as the society goes? Thank you. Wonderful. We live in a world today of people that are like animals. So thank you. Hey, thank you for being decent. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being truthful. Thank you for going to church every now and then. Thank you for being a decent person. Hey, this is wonderful. Are you kidding me? Do you think that's all the Christian life is? Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. I mean, get in on this thing. Don't just settle for the fact that you do good. How about do right? How about honor the word of God? How about live by the Bible? How about God will bless partial faith, but don't settle for good enough, safe enough, okay enough, okay in faith and obedience. Don't hold back a net on God. My friend, when he wants to get you to do something, then just step out by faith and do it. On the other side of that is more of what God could do with your life. And then don't hold back a net and go on for God. See what happened when Peter saw the fish? He fell at Jesus' feet and said, boy, I hope you'll hang around and we'll get more fish out of this. No, let me see. He then falls at Jesus' feet, he falls at Jesus' knees in verse number 8. They're astonished at the fish, verse 10. James and John, they see that. They're all going, wow, this is incredible. Verse 11, and they went back to the fishing business. Is that what they did? They went back to the fishing business. No, they didn't. They went back, they got the nets, unloaded the fish, said, you guys take care of this. We're going on with him. You don't settle for a full net. And you know what you do? Listen to me. Now you go on in your life. You start something. Well, okay, we'll start doing more of good. But don't stop. Keep going. Do whatever God wants you to do. Know in your heart and your life that the God who loved you, saved you, and gave his life for you wants your life, and you just give it to him and trust him to work out all the circumstances and the situation. You say, yeah, that's easy preaching at church. No, it isn't. It's biblical preaching at church. And the truth of the matter is we're out there living on the fish that we have gotten by partial faith instead of realizing there's something else God wants you to do way past the fishing business, friend. Way past that stuff. There's more that he wants of you and from you. Don't worry, he won't take more than he'll give back to you many times over. When I struggled with the call to pastor in my life because of this fear of public speaking in the ministry and what it meant in our family and all that kind of stuff, when I struggled with that, I used it as my excuse. I held out for 2 years on God. 2 years, 2 years. I kept saying, no, God, you didn't mean that. There is no way you want me to do this. My brother, Bud, I've told you, is 2 years older than me. Guy's a public speaker. I mean, he could sell a refrigerator to Eskimo. I mean, he is unbelievable. He could sing. He could preach. He could do all that kind of stuff. That's the guy, not me. You really don't want me to be a pastor of a church. And I wrestled with God about that. When I finally put the nets in the water, then my life was not my own. But look at me, people. I'm happy. Life's good. Look at me. I have found my purpose for walking this planet. And the reason that God let me live and the reason that God has something for me to do with my life. You think holding that net out on God is worth missing that? Oh, no. Oh, no. They came back. They got two boatloads of fish. You know how much money that is to a fisherman, especially when they had caught nothing? They could have just settled for the fish. And they said, nope. You guys take the nets. You guys take the fish. We're following Jesus on this thing. Now, listen to me carefully. Those three men, Peter, James, and John, would become part of that inner circle with Jesus and his 12 disciples. Those three men would be used of God to turn the known world upside down. But your Bible was penned by some of those three men. You know, it's fascinating when you stop to think about what happened, and all it took was them not to settle for a bunch of fish and go on and let God do something with their life. He has something for you to do. Now, don't misunderstand me. He's not going to call everybody to the ministry. When I say you lose control of your life, I'm not saying you're going to be a monk at the airport selling books. If you do tithe, but the truth is, no, all I'm saying is this. Hey, look at me. Then God will be in control. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Don't hold back in that on God. Don't do it. Okay, heads bowed, eyes closed real quickly this morning. Let me ask you this question. Is Jesus in the boat? Your boat. Is Jesus in your boat? That's your salvation. My friend, do you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt that you have salvation, and that knowing is based on God's word, not events and circumstances and feelings? Say, well, I'm not sure about that part, Pastor, whether it's God's word. Then, my friend, in a moment, the invitation begins. Brother Becker will be standing by these flowers. These dear ladies are going to play on those instruments. You come, take his hand. Let's settle that today. No use worrying about nets and nets if you don't have Jesus in the boat. Let's make sure he's in the boat. Number two, if you know that Jesus is your Savior and you're certain of it, what is it he's asked you to do you're holding back on? Now, the Holy Spirit of God is pointing on that thing right now. Boom, touching that. That's the nets or the net principle. Don't hold the net out on God. What would he have you do this morning? Heavenly Father, bless this invitation moment. Settle on us and among us today. And may we today, my Father, come and listen and heed the words of our Savior from the Word of God and the challenge, and let us do more than just drop a net. There's more to give this thing, more you want of us, more you want from us. Help us to do just that, Father. Bless this invitation. Oh, and especially, my Father, if there be one today not certain of salvation, or they're certain but they're not right about the salvation they have, never seen fully in Scripture what it means, may they come today, realize we're their friend, want to help. Bless this invitation moment to hearts and lives, we pray in Jesus' name.